Preaching on prayer is easier than actually praying. I can come up with all kinds of good thoughts and ideas that come from Scripture on prayer. Children are taught to pray to God. They're taught that if they pray, He will answer. And a good sermon on prayer will make you feel reassured, and it will make you feel like if you have faith and you come to God, that He's going to answer you, and it's true. But I'm not sure that people are always correctly taught what they can expect after they pray. Now, when you reflect over your life, like I do, perhaps over many times over the years, you can remember times when you believed you were praying God's will. And you believed and you knew in your heart of hearts that this was God's will, and you were very convinced of it, and you were praying about that very adamantly. But it turned out different than you prayed. There's losses, there's tragedies, there's disappointments, and there's unexpected difficulties. We expected one answer from God, and He gave us a different answer. It can be challenging accepting God's answers, even if you've been a Christian for a long time. And it's true of some of the greatest heroes of the Bible. Moses, one of the greatest heroes. Think about him. He led Israel for 40 years in the desert. You know, he totally expected to go into the promised land. But when he was reaching the end of his life, God said, "You're not going into the promised land. You're going to go up on the mountain and you're going to get to see it, and then you're going to die. Joshua's going to be the one." It wasn't what Moses expected. David expected, as the king, to build the temple. He had made plans, he had made preparations, the Scripture says he did, and God told him, "You're not going to be the one to build the temple. Your son will do it." The same thing happens when we pray sometimes. We ask for one thing, we expect one thing, and God has other plans. Now, God really does answer prayer, but sometimes we don't like His answer. And we don't want to hear His answer. In fact, sometimes we say, "Surely this can't be God's answer." And we just deny that it's His answer. So one of the biggest challenges of prayer may be learning to accept the answer when we pray. Now, there's a preacher outline that's been around many years, and I think that it's well worth repeating today. There's four possible answers that God will give you when you pray. So let me begin with the first one. The most difficult one. One answer from God is no. Now, there's a lot of reasons why God says no when we pray. Let me give you a few of them. Sometimes God says no because of sin. Perhaps we're asking with wrong motives. If you turn with me over here to Matthew chapter 20, starting down here in verse 20, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, and asked a favor of Him. 'What is it you want?' He asked. She said, 'Grant that one of my two sons may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. And Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those who have been prepared by my Father.'" Matthew records the mother of James and John comes to Jesus and gets on her knees. Very convincing. And she asks that her sons be given the most honored positions in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking." And Jesus asked the sons, "Can you drink from the cup?" "Oh yes," they said. So this mother's motivated by pride. She's motivated by power. She's wanting special treatment for her kids. Now, don't get too hard on her, because parents have been doing this for ages. I know of Little League coaches that literally took the job to make sure their son could start, because their son wasn't really that good. But they knew if they were the coach, their son would get to play. How many times have we asked something from God with wrong motives? To benefit our family, to benefit ourselves, instead of really seeking what God wants. And when we do that, God says no. Sometimes God says no because of sin. Now sometimes He's very gracious, and He still blesses us despite our weaknesses and despite our sins. But it was because of Moses' sin that he could not enter the promised land. It was because of David's personal sin that he could not build the temple. Sometimes God says no because of sin. Sometimes God says no because we couldn't handle what we asked for. The Apostle Paul has an awesome experience that he shares in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he was able to see inexpressible things in heaven. It was so intense, it was so overwhelming, that he was given a thorn in the flesh. It says, a messenger from Satan, and three times he prayed to God that it be removed, and the answer was no. And the reason that this thorn was given to Paul, it says, was to keep him from becoming conceited, so he would trust God's power. He trusted God more when he was weak than when he was strong. So God says no, because if he granted our request, we couldn't handle it. And if he was to grant that request, we would become a person that wouldn't be pleasing to him. I remember when I was a very young preacher and I saw a larger church was looking for a preacher, and I remember meeting with one of the elders. I got to look at the parsonage and I looked at the church and I got to thinking, wow, this would be a great place for me. And I prayed, I want to be at this church. And the answer was no. But I couldn't handle that church. I was very young, very inexperienced, and I'm glad I got the no answer. Sometimes God says no. So often He says no because He has a bigger purpose in mind. There's a certain mystery when it comes to knowing the will of God. We don't always understand God's ways. Sometimes it seems so obvious to us, and we assume that God is going to do this. Now, from a human perspective, when we read about Jesus, the perfect Son of God, sinless, being mistreated by people, He's going to be unjustly murdered, and He goes to His Father and He asks that He be delivered from dying a brutal death. It seems obvious that God would save Him. He prays for His Father's will, and the answer is no, because God has a bigger plan, a bigger purpose. The purpose was that He was to die for the sins of the world, to be the sacrifice. But humanly speaking, it didn't make any sense. How often have our loved ones suffered, and we have prayed to God, and it seems so obvious to us that God should heal them, but God has a bigger purpose. A Christian who is suffering and goes on to be with the Lord goes on to a place of peace and joy and comfort, and if they had the choice, they would never come back. When God says no, it can be frustrating, it can be angering. We must learn to accept the answer. God always does what's best. His perfect will always be done. Now, another possible answer from God is slow. We don't get a no answer, but we also don't get a yes. The answer is not yet. We see this in John chapter 11. Jesus receives word that one of His closest friends, Lazarus, is very sick, nearing death, and word is sent by the sisters, the one you love is sick. And they assume Jesus, because He's healed so many people, that He's just going to drop everything and go right over and heal their brother. And they waited and they waited. But Jesus was going too slow. And Lazarus died, ended up being buried. Still, Jesus did not arrive. They put Lazarus in the tomb. Can you imagine? Day one, no Jesus. Day two, no Jesus. Day three, day four, and finally, Jesus arrives. What was the delay? Well, the sisters meet with Jesus individually. first Martha and then Mary, and they both say the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now we know how this feels. We know how it feels to make a request from God, and then we're waiting, and we're waiting, and nothing's happening there. And then bad news. And we say, I prayed, God, if you had answered sooner, the cancer would be gone. God, if you would have acted sooner, there wouldn't have been this problem. God, if you would have acted sooner, they would never have broken up with me. God, if you would have acted sooner, I wouldn't be going through all this. Jesus told his disciples the reason that he wasn't going to heal Lazarus was so that God would be glorified and so that they would believe. And Jesus raised Lazarus, and then in verse 45 of that chapter it says, therefore, many of the Jews believed in him. God is never slow. And please remember this, if you're praying and God is not answering and you're waiting, there's some reason why you're waiting. Sometimes God has something better for us. Sometimes he has a bigger reason. We may not always know why, but by faith, we wait on him and we trust him. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. When we pray to God, sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says slow. A third possible answer is grow. Now make no mistake, God wants to hear from us. But sometimes what we ask is immature. He doesn't answer us because we need to grow. We see this with two of the disciples. They were brothers, James and John. They were very ambitious. They were wanting authority. Remember, their mom came to Jesus on their behalf. When Jesus called them to be his disciples, he actually nicknamed them sons of thunder. So these were aggressive men. And we see their fiery personalities in Luke chapter 9. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 9 and look at verses 51 through 56. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and then he and his disciples went to another village. Jesus and his disciples were heading to Jerusalem, and they were going to be traveling through Samaria. And they ran into trouble. They couldn't get accommodations for the night. These Samaritans did not welcome Jesus. And one of the big reasons was because of the Jew-Samaritan prejudice. Now, Jesus didn't have any trouble associating with Samaritans, but the disciples were the ones that had the trouble associating with the Samaritans. And James and John make this wild request of Jesus, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy their village? Let's pause for a second. Could they really do that? No. But, you know, they were optimistic. But you see their anger, right? You see their overconfidence, even their prejudice. And Jesus rebukes them, and they find another village to stay at. And James and John had maturing to do. They had growing in the faith. Jesus wouldn't grant their request. I remember, I think I was about 13 years old, and my brothers and I used to go on these winter campouts. It was really stupid. I don't know why we did this, but we decided to go on the below zero campouts. We didn't have the proper equipment, and we froze out there. We were freezing. So leading up to Christmas, I remember my father asked me, he said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a below zero sleeping bag right here. I said, that's what I want for Christmas. He said, well, he said, now, if I get that for you, you're not going to get anything else for Christmas. That's very expensive. Are you sure that's what you want? I said, yep, that's what I want. He said, now listen. He said, if I get this for you, that's all you're going to get for Christmas. I said, I want it. He said, no, wait, try it one more time. He said, now listen, what's going to happen is you're going to get your low zero sleeping bag, and your brothers are going to be opening up a whole bunch of other presents. Are you sure you want this below zero sleep? I said, yes, I want the below zero sleeping bag. So you guessed it. On Christmas morning, I got my one present, which I opened, and then I had to sit there and watch my brothers open present after present after present. And I felt so low. And then my father said, at the end of the morning, he said, do you want me to take your sleeping bag back and get you some other things? I said, yeah. So he had to teach me a lesson. He gave me what I wanted, even though he knew that I would regret it. How often have we prayed to God, praying for something selfish, or praying for something that would only help us in the moment? And if God was to grant what we've asked, it would slight others. But sometimes God lets us have what we ask for. And he does that to teach us to grow. I think sometimes we are praying for things that God wants to give us, but we're just not mature enough to handle them. So we come to God praying, God, may your will be done. May you remove my selfishness. May you remove my immaturity. May you show me what your will is for my life. Prayer can be challenging. It can be unpredictable. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says slow. Or even that we need to grow. But the fourth answer is the one that we all want. Sometimes God says go. Remember, Moses couldn't enter the promised land because of sin. He saw the land from the mountain and then he died. But if you look over here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm going to give them to the Israelites. God's word to Joshua, Moses has died, take your people and go. The land is yours. Another example from the Old Testament was Elijah. Remember, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And then it says the heavens gave rain. And here's a scripture in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Sometimes we pray to God in faith, and he makes a sick person well. I have seen it happen. It really does happen. There's been so many times, too many times for me to count, when I have prayed to the Lord about something and the answer came quickly. It has happened. Now I wish it always happened that way. But God always answers. And that I know for sure. I've wondered, when I get to heaven, if I will discover things that God wanted to give me, things that he wanted to bless me with, but I never ask. A word of scripture comes to mind, you do not have, because you do not ask. I know Jesus will give me what I need. He knows what I need, but he just wants me to ask in faith. I read about a missionary who shared that of all the teachings that he gave, the one teaching that really attracted the Buddhist that he was trying to reach out was his teaching on prayer. He said when he taught on prayer, they all became very excited and they paid close attention because when he said the Christian God answered prayer, they were excited, and they were excited because their idols that they worshiped never answered prayers. My friends, We have a Heavenly Father who always hears us, and He always answers. And these, it's such encouraging good news. God will always give us a fair hearing. So our challenge then is to discover the answer that He has for us. And this is the last challenge in this series. And my challenge is this. This week when you're praying every day, keep on believing. Don't give up. Ask God to reveal His answers to you clearly. Ask Him to give you wisdom to understand why. Now, one of the difficulties of prayer is accepting God's answers. He never promised us in this life that we would be free from pain, that we would be free from disappointment. But the Christian's response is the key. Now, I have a picture up here, Brenda, of this Bible scholar. I recently heard about a Bible scholar. His name is Jack Cottrell. I've always appreciated Jack. And just a few months ago, he received a startling health diagnosis. So I want to read his words to you in response to this. This is what he writes. On June 9th, when the surgeons opened me up to remove my colon, they found a cancerous condition within my colon that would not allow them to proceed. Thus, they simply closed me up, and I'm home now recovering, but with no hope or freedom from cancer. I cannot adequately express how much I appreciate all the prayers that have been prayed on my behalf. It seems though God has chosen not to answer these prayers as we had hoped. I'm not somehow disappointed with God for many reasons. For one, I've lived a long life, over 84 years, and I've been able to, by God's grace, do many things that are helping God's kingdom grow. We live in a fallen universe in bodies that are under an inescapable curse of death. We must be ready someday to say goodbye to these bodies and to wait with Jesus in angelic heaven for the time when we will get new glorified bodies that are forever free from the curse. When we're facing death in this fallen world, it's okay to pray for healing and extension of life. That's plan A. But remember that if God chooses not to answer, He has plan A plus waiting for us, which is Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Thus we are waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. Well, I couldn't have said it better than Jack. Faith is believing that when we pray, God knows what's best. His answers are best, even when they're difficult, even when we can't even imagine the answer. We can do this because we have hope. So let me ask you, do you have that hope in your life? Do you have that hope that when you're praying to God, that He's hearing you, that He's answering? And can you trust Him? Can you trust Him to, when that answer is not what you've wanted and not what you have thought was going to happen, do you have the faith to trust Him to know what's best? Well, I have a song today that's just a song of recommitment, and it's the old hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." What a beautiful old song, just to take Him at His word, just to trust upon the promise.